faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky!
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's...
Greetings! Welcome to another exciting episode of Pretentious Internet Theater, the show so elite that while it may be on its 39th episode, doesn't look a day over episode 20. Tonight's a rather controversial topic. Well, not that controversial. Unless you like reading comic books, then this is the podcast for you. Recently, DC Comics has decided to change their entire lineup. They were tired of Superman wearing his underoos on the outside of his pants, so they figured they had to reset the entire universe. Well, it's a little more complicated than that. They wanted to have storylines which were a little bit more updated, a little bit more modern, and something that people could relate to. Whether or not they accomplished this remains to be seen. There were a lot of interesting changes that did happen. For example, the Green Arrow went back to his roots as a businessman who is still fighting crime with a bow and arrow, but he has a couple of people helping him. Similar to the television series Smallville, he kind of operates like that now. Batwoman also is a new hero that managed to get her own series. She came out of the last crisis the last time DC decided to reset their universe, and is a more of a supernatural hunter. And then there's the changes with Starfire in Red Hood and the Outlaws. Of course, while there are lots of people saying that their favorite comic book character from Teen Titans had somehow turned from sort of an innocent character who was somewhat naive in exploring her relation to Earth, DC responded, "We understand that you're very passionate about the Starfire character. Hey, we made a lot of money based off of that Red Hood and the Outlaws, so guess what we'll be doing? More of that." As a matter of fact, it reminds me of a quote by Maria Robinson, "No one can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending." Nonetheless, so I can write DC in my Keywords blog and piggyback off of their success, somewhat, and you can follow me on Pit Podcast on Twitter, I found a story in which they took another superhero and decided to modernize him into something the kids could relate to. So, sit on the edge of your seat for the action-packed superhero story, a Sesame Street Super Special. Enjoy. Pretentious Internet Theater proudly presents The Sesame Street Super Special by Gareth Paul Barsby. Author's note.
Okay, this is like my earlier Sesame Street Halloween specials, except the rather of being about Halloween, it's about Super Grover and Dora the Explorer. Now I can't think of anything else to say.
The Secret Super Origin of Super Grover. After a long, hard day of selling doorknobs, Grover Kent was ready to just go home and call today when a piercing shriek hit his earlobes, followed by a horrified, "Oh, no!" Instantly, Grover thought, "This looks like a job for Super Grover." Started looking for a phone booth, only to find there were none nearby. Thus, he had to resort to diving in a bush when no one was looking to change his ordinary everyday glasses and trench coat ensemble to a more flamboyant superhero getup, complete with knight helmet and cape. Using his Grovery sense, which was tingling, he dove off into the sky and looked all over Metro City for the source of the screaming. He found it in the center of the city, emanating from a young woman. "Never fear," said Super Grover. "Super Grover is here to save you."
"Oh, no, not you again."
"But, madam, you are in danger."
"No, I thought I'd lost my credit card, then I found it."
"Oh, well, while I'm here, do you want to hear the secret super origin of Super Grover?"
"No."
And with that, the woman walked off. Oh, dear. So Super Grover turned around and looked at a fire hydrant. "Hello, Mr. Fire Hydrant. Would you like to hear the secret super origin of Super Grover?" "Okay, then. It all began many years ago on the planet Grovetron."
when it existed, the planet Grovetron was a beautiful, peaceful society, with its population and cute blue furry monsters, its rich culture and art, and many ice cream stores. All this peace and beauty was not to last forever, as the father of the boy who was Super Grover, named Grover, foresaw something horrible. "Oh no!" he screamed while running to his wife and son. "We have to do something quick!" "Why, what is it, honey?" said his wife, running to comfort him. "It's the evil alien robot Bertiac. Him and his fleet are coming to destroy Grovetron." "Oh, honey, that was just the movie we saw last night. Attack of the evil alien robots."
"That's what they want you to believe. We must gather an army, evacuate the planet, something."
"That's it, young man," said his wife. "No more scary movies for you. But the signs are everywhere. I don't want you filling our son's head with more of your silly stories."
But no buts. Weeks on end, Mrs. Grove and her son had to listen to that man constantly look into the skies and run around in circles, panicking due to what he believed was the upcoming invasion of Bertiac. Reached the final straw when he ran out to the streets with a gun, yelling, "Believe Bertiac is coming or die!"
"That's it, Grover," yelled Mrs. Grover, furious at her husband embarrassing her like this. "If you won't stop all this Bertiac nonsense, then I'm leaving you."
"But I'm super serial!"
"Sorry, it won't work." So Mrs. Grover took her and her son, went off on a rocket to start a new life on Earth. For many days, Grover stood in the streets, crying his eyes out over the loss of his wife, till a dark shadow crept over the planet, the mothership of the evil Bertiac. As the mighty ship hovered over the city, a hologram appeared above, showing the visage of an evil-looking yellow robot, with a pointed head and a big red nose. "People of Grovetron, I am the mighty Bertiac. I will annihilate every one of you and replace the entire population with pigeons."
"What about rubber duckies?" Onto the holographic screen appeared an orange, more friendly-looking robot.
"No, Erniac, you will not replace the population with rubber duckies. But rubber ducky species are endangered, Bertiac."
"Oh, for the love of, let's just do this."
So with the push of a button, several lasers shot up from the Bertiac mothership, laying buildings to waste and trapping people under the heavy rubble.
"See?" yelled the old Grover. "I told you, didn't I?"
"You're still a nutter," cried another member of the planet before being vaporized. Anyway, Mrs. Grover and her son Grover landed safely on the planet Earth. She discovered the rays from the Earth's yellow sun had given them both superpowers. They could shoot lasers out of their eyes, fly, pick up really heavy things without any hassle, and wait patiently for the next episode of Doctor Who. So, with these powers, Mrs. Grover became Supermommy and vowed to protect the innocent. One famous moment in the life of Supermommy occurred when she stopped Pigata, giant female pig who crushed cities to get revenge on her acting career being washed up. Another being when she crushed Alphaziation, a giant evil bear who caused pain and misery with his lame jokes. And another being when she stopped the Skirmits, evil frogs who impersonate people and sing songs about rainbows. She became beloved and honored by all, and her son Grover Kent longed to follow in her footsteps. Years later, Supermommy retired, and Grover continued her legacy as Super Grover. "Oh, hi, Mr. Fire Hydrant. I love my mommy so much. I don't know what I'd do without her. She raised me and taught me right from wrong. I know she'd be proud of me. Hey, a random passerby, Super Grover, did you just say you were Grover Kent?"
"No, no, I didn't."
"Okay, then."
Later, Super Grover changed into a secret alias of Grover Kent and went home to relax. Suddenly, there was a knock on the door. When Grover answered it, two men in white appeared. "Are you Grover Kent?"
"Why, yes, good sirs."
In a second, Grover was fitted into a straitjacket and taken to a mental institution. "And that," said Super Grover to the fire hydrant, "is how Super Grover went to the loony bin. I'll tell you how I got out tomorrow." "Hey, a random passerby. Super Grover, did you say you were Grover Kent?" Grover killed the random passerby with his eye lasers. Trash talk.
"Oh my goodness gracious," cried Grover Kent, running down the streets. "I'm going to be late." After much panicking and running, he finally reached where he was supposed to get to, the office building where he'd be given another suitcase of doorknobs to sell. Unfortunately, this would not be any ordinary day, and he noticed two people adding an extra sentence to the sign outside the door. Mars Doorknobs, now a division of Grouch Corp.
Grouch Corp?
Grover Kent's eyes widened in shock as he remembered who owned Grouch Corp. Super Grover's arch-nemesis, Grex Groucher. Any fears he had building in his gut were all the more when he saw his female co-worker, Zoe Zane, walk out with a handful of garbage. "Zoe," said Grover, "why are you carrying out loads of trash?" The business had been bought out by the evil corporate grouch, Grex Groucher, and now we have to sell garbage instead of doorknobs. Grover could only sigh, as he remembered hearing how Groucher had amassed his fortune from being paid to take all the garbage from other cities. Blotham City had amassed a lot of garbage, and they were willing to pay millions to get rid of it. Groucher was happy to take this all away. He even used it to build a tower of rubbish where he ran his operations. In that tower of rubbish, Groucher, a small green grouch in a business suit, glowered over the city he wanted to mess up and ruin, smirking at the prospect of Metro City becoming one big garbage tip. With the thoughts in mind, he bolted, excited energy jolted through his body, which caused him to frolic in a pile of discarded papers and banana peels like Scrooge McDuck did with money. Little did he know that a certain alien spaceship was hovering outside, observing his every action. Viewing this disgusting tyrant were two evil alien robots, none other than Bertiac and Erniac. Oh boy, this certainly seems like a brilliant chance for some destruction, Erniac. But Bertiac, said Erniac, turning from his rubber duckies, aren't we figments from someone else's imagination? Don't get philosophical with me, Erniac. Prepare the ray. Back in Metro City, Grover went from door to door selling rubbish. But ma'am, you don't understand. These orange peels may look useless, but I guarantee you, the door slammed right back in his face. With this refusal, Grover threw all the rubbish he was supposed to sell on the floor in frustration, groaning the only successful customer was a guy who bought a discarded porno mag. Just as he was about to desperately walk all the way home, a beam came down from the heavens and abducted his unsold trash. Why, yes, thank you for your purchase. That'll be $22.03. The response was a narrowly missed laser blast. Beginning to walk home again, Grover couldn't help but hear loud thrashing sounds. He turned around and saw a large monster made of a garbage next to an alien spacecraft. A large hologram of a certain yellow robot emitted from the spaceship addressing the city. People of Metro City, this is the mighty alien robot Bertiac. If you don't surrender Super Grover to me, I will destroy the city with my giant rubbish monster. Hearing this, Grover Kent dove into his suitcase and came out as Super Grover. With heroic fury, he flew to where the rubbish monster was tearing a skyscraper from the ground and laying it to waste. Excuse me, Mr. Monster. Would you mind not laying waste to my lovely city? Hearing this, the monster slugged Super Grover in the face and sent him flying into a building. To make matters worse, it was the Grouchier building. Ha ha! Laughed Grouchier as Grover came crashing in. That's what I like to see. Metro City's greatest hero, miserable and defeated. I'm not defeated yet, Groucher, moaned Grover, as he made his way off the floor, made of Pepsi cans. When I defeat this monster, I'll give you a good talking to about what you've done to the dear doorknob selling company. Hey, it's business. So off Super Grover flew to battle the giant monster, which even now was tearing a cinema where it stood and devoured all the popcorn and people inside. He punched this hideous fiend with a massive blow and knocked it over, and the sudden urge to wash his hands. After washing his hands, he returned to fighting the monster, still destroying the city. Grover dove to attack the beast, but then it unveiled another power in its arsenal. It zapped Grover with optic beams that changed Grover into an empty dog food tin. After this quick transformation, Grover clattered down to the streets and began to roll away. He was stopping in his rolling by Grex Groucher, who began to kick him around like a soccer ball, then promptly eat him. Ah, the taste of a hero's defeat, mused Groucher. Looks like I win. That monster will make everyone miserable. Metro City will be covered in filth, just as he was gloating. He saw the monster being lifted by another flying person, throwing it into Bertiac's spaceship, causing both of them to crash outside the city limits. That flying person? No other than Super Mommy. Oh, no, not you, cried Grex Groucher. Yes, nobody picks on my son, with this cry. He reached into the Groucher's mouth and pulled out Grover, still a can. Thanks, Mommy, said Grover as the two flew away. Now how do I change back? Don't worry, you know how these things are. You'll be back to normal as soon as the next story begins. As they flew off,
Grex Croucher, after the pain of having a furry monster shove her arm down his throat, ran into the city limits, where he saw the dead rubbish monster and Bertiak and Erniak's crashed spaceship. "Oh no," moaned Bertiak, "not another Earthling. You guys were great," said Croucher. "You made lots of people miserable." "You're speaking my language." Bertiak, this green furry person doesn't seem very nice." "Shut up, Erniak. I think we've found a new ally."
Knight of the Elmo.
The smell of rotting trash and smoke touched Super Grover's nostrils as he flew down to the bad part of Metro City, where he heard there was a rise in drug dealing, and as his personal philosophy noted, "Don't do drugs." Landing right next to a boarded-up window, he stood around a corner and saw two smiling kids with a suspicious-looking man. "Say, kids, do you want something that'll make you happy?" "Yay, I love being happy." "Is it candy?" "It's better than candy." "Stop right there, drug dealer," triumphantly, Super Grover burst in. "Oh, crap," said one of the kids. "That bad man is selling drugs, and drugs are very bad, and you shouldn't do them. Super Grover never does drugs, because his mommy told him not to. Mommy also taught me a lot of things, like how to cross the road." "Don't listen to that purple freak," continued the man, holding out a little baggie. "This stuff's good." All of a sudden, the baggie became a lollipop, and the suspicious man turned into a fat pink bunny rabbit and ran off screaming his guts out. Grover was rightly confused, and even more so when the bad part of town became the pink pretty part of town, complete with flowers and giant statues of goldfish. While the two kids just ran off, Grover stood there with unblinking eyes. Who did this?
"Elmo did!"
At that moment, a red furry monster with a yellow nose appeared out of nowhere.
"Elmo thought Nasty Place would look prettier."
"What?"
"Elmo come from magical other dimension. Dimension pretty and nice. Elmo come to another dimension for holiday, but Elmo no like it because it's all nasty and scary. Then Elmo thought that Elmo would use Elmo's powers to make it nice."
Grover could only sigh and shake his head. "It's not that I, Super Grover, who brings love and justice to all, don't appreciate the thought, but you are f***ing annoying."
"But Elmo wants to be Super Grover's sidekick."
"What?"
"Elmo likes Super Grover because he fights for good and justice and is funny and happy. Most superheroes Elmo meets are nasty and dark."
"But Super Grover works alone."
"But Elmo wants to join Super Grover."
"Go away." With this, Elmo started crying, then disappeared. The next day in Metro City, a bank was being robbed by two generic criminals who, within minutes, took all the money they could carry and stuffed it in the back of their car. Just as they were about to drive off, Super Grover dove in front of the car and told the robbers to halt. The response he gained was being run over by the car and being turned into a cartoon pancake. The crooks at first thought they'd gotten away until they saw a giant marshmallow in front of the road they swerved into. At that moment, Elmo appeared and took back the money. After getting himself out of pancake mode, Grover saw Elmo with the money and was reluctantly impressed. "Thank you, Elmo, but you should have left jobs like this to Super Grover. Now let's return that money."
"No, money is the root of all evil."
So Elmo used his powers to change the money into lollipops and gave them all to the kiddies. Now half the city had been bankrupted, and Super Grover was the one being blamed for it. "I keep telling you," said Super Grover, "Super Grover had nothing to do with this. It was Elmo, a being from another dimension."
"Yeah, right."
So many days were spent hiding from the police and trying to avoid arrest, while trying to clear his name and redeem himself by foiling crimes and misdeeds, but Elmo got in the way every time. He didn't do anything as severe as bankrupt people, but he was still, to put it in simple terms, a f***ing nuisance. One instance included Super Grover trying to stop two thieves robbing the jewelry store. Elmo helped by turning the thieves into monkeys, because he thought monkeys were funny. The thieves got away easily, thanks to their monkey forms giving them new aerobatic abilities, and threw something quite unpleasant in Grover's face. Another instance involved Elmo conjuring up some bunnies. Grover liked bunnies, so he was too busy petting and cuddling them that he let some bad guys get away. Soon this became too much to handle, so Grover snapped, grabbed a flamethrower, and started to torch down all of Metro Cities, in hopes that in doing so, kill Elmo. "Die, Elmo, die," he cried before being taken to court. "Judge," said Grover, "I'm a superhero. You can't lock me up."
But you're a f***ing loony, said the judge. So you've been sentenced to 10 years in Barkham Asylum for the criminally insane. You're going to the asylum, just like in that story you told. Heroes can't go to an asylum. There must have been a door there in the wall. Everyone thought Super Grover was a loony, way before his killing spree. So many thought this is something that should have been done a long time ago. Tied up with chains in a straitjacket, Super Grover was driven away from Metro City, right into Blotham City, where Barkham Asylum waited. While being thrown in his cell, Super Grover decided that even though he could break out with his super strength, he should stay in his cell, so as not to further ruin his reputation. However, despite this, he still cried and bitched and moaned about Elmo for hours on end. So this Elmo, said the psychiatrist, does he represent your repressed anger? Your lost childhood? No, he's an annoying f***head from some shitty dimension. We'll pick this up tomorrow. The minute after the psychiatrist left, Elmo appeared.
Hi, Grover! Ah!
With that ferocious scream, Grover grabbed Elmo by the foot and started throwing him around the cell until he was beat to a bloody pulp. I am the victor! I am free! After defeating Elmo, Grover pummeled a hole through the cell wall and flew off.
Omle!
Said Elmo, causing him to disappear. Two guards heard all the noise and commotion, gasped when they saw the hole in the cell wall. Told you we shouldn't have put that superpowered being in a normal cell. Shut up, Larry. There's only one person that can bring in this menace. You don't mean, yes, if we want to cast the worst superhero based on a kiddie show, we need the greatest superhero based on a kiddie show. The Dark Explorer. Super Grover versus the Dark Explorer. In a looming mansion somewhere in Blotham City, two figures sat and wait, a 7-year-old Hispanic girl and her pet monkey.
Hi, said the girl. I'm Dora Wayne. And I'm Boots Grayson. We're waiting for a devious crime to be committed. Do you know what happens when a devious crime is committed?
A brief pause.
Right! I see the Explorer signal.
That moment, speak of the devil, the Explorer signal. Bright light in the clouds of the face, shone in the sky.
I'm the Explorer signal. 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 Oh no! Insane superhero Super Grover has escaped from the asylum.
Dora Wayne could only groan. As for a long time, she had considered Super Grover a disgrace to her profession.
You have to find them, then pummel them, then send them back to the asylum. Got that? Find. Pummel. Asylum. Find. Pummel. Asylum. Find. Pummel. Asylum. Find. Pummel. Asylum, repeated Dora. Come on, Boots, let's go to the Explorer Casa.
Upon hearing this, Dora's butler, Signor Toucan, pushed a button under the bust of Shakespeare, making the bookcase slide open to reveal two poles. Dora and Boots slid down the poles and ended up in the underground Explorer Casa, now in different costumes. Dora had taken on her alter ego, the Dark Explorer, and she was now donned with a black and gray costume that immediately made her look like a bat. Boots took on the guise of a sidekick, Boots the Blunder Chimp, and now wore a rather flamboyant circus outfit with a domino mask. Immediately, they ran into their famous Explorer-mobile, a talking train painted black and fixed with a cool shiny bat wings. Choo-choo, it cried as it burst out of the Explorer Casa.
Find. Pummel. Asylum! Find. Pummel. Asylum!
The Dark Explorer sang as she looked for Super Grover.
Come on, Vominos! Let's catch the criminal scum! 'Cause he's insane and evil! Let's beat him till he's numb! Who are we catching? Super Grover! Why are we catching him? He's insane! Why do I fight crime? 'Cause my parents are murdered before my very eyes and I'm forever tormented by personal demons!
Elsewhere, a sinister figure turned on his television and saw the breaking news update. We interrupt this program to bring in this important news update. Due to the overtly idiotic situation that put him in a regular cell, insane superhero Super Grover has broken free from Barkham Asylum and is believed he is loose in Gotham City. Police warn not to approach the criminal as he believes to be armed, dangerous, and a little potty. A maniacal laugh escaped the grisly creature watching the broadcast.
Perfect!
After a bout of flying, Grover decided to take a rest on top of a grungy Blotham City building. and took a short look at the despondent city below, almost shrouded in smoke and reeking of garbage and corruption. "How can anyone live in a city like this is beyond me," said Grover to himself. "I cannot wait to go home to good old Metro City where it's nice and I can clear my name." All of a sudden, Super Grover heard voices.
"Do you see that rat, Super Grover?"
A pause.
"Where?"
Hearing this, Grover gasped and began to fly away. But this was intercepted by none other than the Dark Explorer, riding in on the Explorer jetpack. "Little girl, you bet not be out at night, especially in a city like this." The Dark Explorer whacked Super Grover in the face, giving him a black eye.
"I'm the Dark Explorer, and you're going back to Barkham."
"I didn't mean to. I'm a superhero. Elmo put me up to it."
"I don't care. I've been wanting to get for a long time. You're an insult to superheroes based off kiddie shows."
"Don't make me fight you with my superpowers."
"I'll beat you anyway." She turned away from him. "Do you know where I keep my crime-fighting tools?"
Another pulse.
"That's right. My utility belt."
At that moment, the Dark Explorer's utility belt took on a life of its own, singing utility belt, utility belt, utility belt, utility belt, yeah! Dreadful song alone made Grover feel like his ears would explode if he had any. Which they had, he had his ears only in the story. But the Dark Explorer even pulled a rope out from his belt and used it to bind Super Grover. "What did I do to deserve this?"
"You killed people."
"Yeah, that."
"Okay, Boots," said the Dark Explorer to Boots as he disappeared. "Let's take the scum to Barkham. Vominos!"
Unfortunately for the Dark Explorer, a giant blimp with the face of a grinning fox painted on it flew in, and, like an alien spacecraft, abducted Grover with a beam. After that, it quickly flew off.
"Damn it! This must be the work of the Swipeker, the fox clown! That maniacal fox clown is always trying to wreak mindless havoc!"
A little while later, the blimp arrived at the abandoned warehouse where Super Grover was dumped into. "Oh my, where am I?" Looking around to see the dead bodies and vandalized I Believe in Tico Dent posters, his trepidation grew.
"You're at my top secret hideout, silly!"
Out of the shadows came a strange-looking fox with his fur smeared with white clown makeup, wearing a long purple coat, yellow shirt, and a green necktie.
Who are you?" "I am the notorious supervillain, Swipeker."
"Swipeker?"
"I wanted my supervillain alias to be Swiper or Joker. They're both copyrighted, so I combined them."
"Why did you bring me here?"
"Because we're murderous maniacs have to stick up for each other."
"I am not a murderous maniac. I'm a nice superhero. I was only driven to temporary insanity by an annoying monster who's gone now, so I'll never kill again."
"Oh, how disappointing. No matter how sane you are, the Dark Explorer will be working for you, and everybody will want to see you locked up. To them, you're just a psychopathic weirdo. Like me."
"You have a point."
"Just think, with your reputation, it won't matter how many people you kill, because the way people think of you can't be more lessened."
"No, I don't believe that. Super Grover looks for redemption and only redemption."
"But I know how you can redeem yourself in their eyes."
"How?"
"Simple. Kill the Dark Explorer."
"No, Super Grover does not kill anymore." Wheeling in the TV, Swipeker continued.
"But that Dark Explorer is a menace."
After he turned on the TV, showed an image of Swipeker swiping some giant scissors from a grand opening of the Blotham Children's Hospital, using them to gleefully cut people's heads off. He let out a maniacal laugh. As he let out a maniacal laugh, the Dark Explorer and Boots appeared.
"Swiper, no killing!" they yelled. "Swipeker, no killing!" "Aw, man!"
You're supposed to say it three times. So Swipeker put down his scissors, and the two heroes punched his lights out. Putting off the TV, present Swipeker moaned.
"Sad, isn't it?
But you were killing people."
"One of them could have been Hitler in disguise."
"Good point."
"So go ahead, my man," laughed Swipeker,
opening up a can of his special insanity gas.
"Kill that bitch!"
Riding along the roads of Blotham in their Explorer mobile, leaving large marks on the road, the Dark Explorer and the Blunder Chip scoured the city for any sign of the Super Grover.
"Damn that Swipeker! Damn him! Now, Dora, Dark Explorer, shouldn't you calm down a bit? If you've forgotten, two dangerous, insane criminals are on the loose. This city's full of scum, and my parents are dead."
Two heroes' search came to an end when Super Grover flew down and blew up the Explorer-mobile with his laser eyes.
Choo-choo! You scum!
Growled the Dark Explorer as she flung one of the Explorer rings at Super Grover, who only caught it and threw it back at Boots, who narrowly missed it.
Holy f***ed up superheroes! Cried Boots
as Super Grover flew down. Dark Explorer Longefan began to punch him in the face so hard she knocked out her tooth. Nonetheless, Super Grover managed to overpower her, send her slamming into a brick wall, right next to Swipesker, happily munching away in a bag of popcorn.
Swipesker, I knew you'd be behind this. Yeah, soon Super Grover will kill you. I'll have my revenge against Swipe and murder at my leisure, all thanks to my insanity gas. Well, that's kind of redundant.
She turned away from Swipesker.
Do you know what I can use against insanity gas? You moan about how bad insane people are, said Swipesker, and yet here you are, talking to no one. That's right, the Explorer All-Purpose Antidote.
As Super Grover dove for the Dark Explorer, she sprayed him with the antidote.
Now you're cured of the insanity gas, but you're still bloody potty, so I'm going to kick your ass.
She turned away again.
I need your help to kick Super Grover's ass. Kick in the air like you're kicking a deranged criminal nutjob. Go on, kick!
This actually had an effect, as Super Grover's ass was kicked harder than it had ever been kicked before.
Now we're sending you back to Barkham.
But a superhero like you, can't I help you defeat this evil fox clown?
Nah.
But before Dora could refuse, Grover had already kicked Swiper in the gut, and the villain responded by squirting him with acid through his trick flower, which caused Grover to flop about in pain. Screw this, said Grover. I'm off to Metro City. And off he flew.
Shouldn't we chase him, Dora? But he's Metro City's problem. Let's kick Swipesker unconscious and send him back to Barkham.
So they did.
Well, said the Dark Explorer to no one, I and Boots can find my way out of this stupid story. Even though you said it should be Boots and I. What was your favorite part of our brief adventure?
A pause.
No, me either.
The attack of Grouchiak.
Yes, cried Gretch Goucher, dancing around in glee. My arch nemesis Super Grover had been sent off to Barkham Asylum. I knew that rent an annoying twat would work. Enough giggling and rejoicing, moaned Bertiak. Back to the matter at hand.
Perfection is perfection, and that's about to understand. From a young G's perspective.
Boy, you're a real grump. I like that. Anyway, I and Erniac had almost completed our mission to fuse us all together. The time for wreaking havoc is almost at hand. As long as there's loads of miserable people, I'll be happy. As the two were talking, Erniac walked into the room, wiping oil off his hands. Well, Bertiak, took a while, but it's done.
Well, you finally did something right for once, said Bertiak.
Yeah, what are we hanging around here for? Let's get combining.
Took him a while. Super Grover had finally reached Metro City, and he flew with a huge smile on his face. In a way, he saw his time in Blotham City as a learning experience. Someone like Elmo annoys him, he must not let insanity overcome him, lest he end up a dangerous criminal like Swipesker, or be too grumpy, lest he be a nasty bitch like the Dark Explorer. Still, it was good to be back in Metro City. Being more colorful and welcoming than Blotham took a few minutes to admire the scenery, making sure that nobody would see him. Just as he was doing that, though, a huge pile of rubbish landed on his head. Looking up, he saw that within seconds, Metro City was becoming as grimy and foreboding as Blotham. Seeing this, his first thought that he was going to have to breathe with his mouth for quite a while. The second thought was he had finally found a way to redeem himself. In a second, he dove down onto the streets, and saw a little girl trapped under a rusty caravan, which he promptly lifted off her body. Don't worry, little girl. Super Grover has saved you. Piss off, you psycho! Grover sat the caravan down and flew off. Oh, maybe it is hopeless. Indeed, came the voice of a familiar grouch. Grex Grouch, I should have known. Turning around, Grover was in for quite a surprise when he saw the three-headed floating robot, with the heads being those of Groucher, Bertiak, and Erniac. This body's really uncomfortable, Bertiak, moaned Erniac. So my arch-nemesis is free from Barkham Asylum, eh? Said Groucher. No matter. It's so much fun making you miserable. Heh. No, Super Grover is a kind, happy, good-hearted hero. He's not like the Dark Explorer, who is grumpy. Wanna bet? All of a sudden a television set came out of the robot's chest, showing the ending of Old Yeller.
Oh, this part always gets... No, I won't fall for your petty tricks, villain.
At that moment, Robot shot out an extendable boxing glove at Grover, sending him flying out into the air. Heh, snickered Groucher. Now all of Metro City will be the victim to the power of Grouchiak. With another wicked smirk, Grouchiak flew down to Metro City and addressed its people. My fellow Metro Cityans, I am Grouchiak. Unless you accept me as your new king, you'll be destroyed. Yeah, right, said a random guy before being blasted to dust by a laser cannon. What do you want from us? I want you to cry. That's exactly what the people did. Under my rule, it will be against the law to giggle and laugh, and the only movies allowed to be broadcasted will be Kidulthood, Platoon, Requiem for a Dream, and anything else that makes people depressed. Also, you have to eat garbage instead of food. In fact, you mentioned food, you'll have to shine my shoes for a week. Above all, be miserable.
Way ahead of you, said a goth.
Citizens of Metro City, cried Super Grover, do not listen to that monster. He will only bring you suffering. I, Super Grover, will save you from him. How will a pathetic lunatic like you stop me? Simple. Just today I discovered I had garbage eradicating vision. Beams shot from Super Grover's eyes and all the trash disappeared, making the people cheer. Then they released Grover went on a rampage with a flamethrower and stopped. I will destroy you. Grouchiak flew into the air towards Super Grover and launched two missiles at him. Grover immediately dodged the missiles and groved for Grouchiak. The response from the creature was to launch a barrage of old tin cans towards Grover's head, which he tried to knock back at him. It was all to no avail, though, as another cannon emerged from Bertiak's head, which blasted Grover all the way to the moon. Those bad guys won't stop me so easily, said Super Grover before taking a piece of the moon and eating it to see if it was cheese. It wasn't, so he flew back to Metro City, where Grouchiak was still wreaking havoc. Oh no, said Erniak, I think I dropped Robber Ducky. Shut up, Erniak, said Groucher and Bertiak in unison. Looking for this, said Super Grover, holding up a rubber ducky. Ducky, if you want it, would you please stop causing mayhem and havoc? Oh, yes, please. Both Groucher and Bertiak sighed as they pushed a button on their back, which separated them from Erniak. The minute Erniak was separated, he fell 5,000 feet and broke into a million pieces. Now Grouchiak had become a two-headed but still powerful robot, and that action had Grover learning a way to stop this menace. Unfortunately, he was stopped in this endeavor by the firm iron grip of Grouchiak, who began to strangle him. All of a sudden, Bertiak and Groucher separated and began to fall. Grover dove down and caught both of them. Then he saw none other than his mummy. Hi, Grover, dear, she said. Mummy, I appreciate what you did, but I thought I could handle it myself, as I need to be redeemed. No need. I had to chat with all those people and told them the psychopathic killing was just a big misunderstanding and you're really a good boy. Thanks, Mommy. Where so with himself redeemed, Super Grover dropped Greg Scroucher and Bertiak off at Arkham Asylum. Hey, this place isn't so bad, said Groucher, admiring his new home. Dark, despondent, depressing, it has everything. How do you like it, Bertiak? Bertiak? Bertiak had escaped by knocking a hole in the wall. See, I told you an old powerful robot should have a stronger cell. Shut up. The hunger of Cookieside. One day, on the planet of chocolate chips, its mighty ruler, Cookieside, the big blue furry monster, was hungry. Cookies, he cried. Cookieside want... No, I'm going to say it right. Cookies, he cried. Cookieside want cookies.
I'm sorry, sir, said Cookieside's whimpering servant. We're out of cookies.
Then buy more cookies.
There'll be no cookies left on the chocolate chips.
Then make more cookies.
There's no milk or eggs left on the chocolate chips either.
Cookieside sad. Wait, Cookieside no.
Earth has lots and lots of cookies. So Cookie Side invade the planet Earth. Gather the armies.
So Cookie Side and his mighty army boarded huge mothership and flew towards planet Earth because they didn't use boom tubes. And wouldn't you know it, they landed in Metro City, squashing few people. Within minutes of arriving, Cookie Side's army stormed the city, invading bakeries, restaurants, and grocery stores, all to gather cookies for their hungry master. One platoon had stolen every cookie from a co-op and were intersected by Super Grover, who had gained more confidence as a result of recent events. Halt, villains! You shall not steal those delicious baked goods.
But Cookie Side want cookies.
Well, he won't have them. In a flurry, Super Grover pummeled every member of that army unconscious and flew off to search for Cookie Side. After much flying, he saw a fat blue furry monster sitting on a throne, chowing down on cookie after cookie. Are you Cookie Side?
Don't interrupt Cookie Side when he's eating. Cookie Side hungry.
But you shouldn't eat cookies without paying for them. That is stealing, and stealing is wrong.
Me no care.
Cookie Side went back eating his cookies. Grover flew in to challenge the beast.
Give back the cookies.
Just then, Cookie Side realized he was eating too much and ended up vomiting. Grover stood there in shock, saw that Cookie Side's vomit included his one weakness, Grovernite. In minutes, he succumbed to the Grovernite and died.
Super Grover's dead!
Cried the Dark Explorer as she and Boots entered. With that, she, Boots, and Cookie Side danced and sang.
We did it! We did it!
The end. Well, I think if there's a lesson to be learned here, it's that maybe superheroes are better off left to the natural origins. Sure, they may not wear their underwear on the outside of their pants and be somewhat more sensible looking, but really, why do some superheroes have to be the way they are now? Why does Superman need armor, for example? I mean, that's pretty much just it. Why does Superman need armor? Crying out loud, he's Superman! He doesn't need armor! And apparently, Wonder Woman was going to be in pants, but they changed it back to a skirt, so that made people happy again. All I know is that these comic books were number one. Well, they weren't number one, but they were very popular. Matter of fact, they pretty much all sold out. So maybe it was out of curiosity. Maybe it was the fact that, well, some comic book publishers are going to do what's popular, because it makes a lot of money, and they believe that's what the people want. If you want to change the industry, there's one of two things you can do. Either you can make sure that you purchase all the comic books that are exactly like what you want, and tell your friends to make sure that they purchase those comic books, and then in turn, maybe the industry will be turned on its heels. Worked for Todd McFarlane, and then he made that crappy Spawn movie. Or you can write your own comic books. That one's a little bit more complicated. Slightly. I mean, having to come up with an original idea and all is certainly taxing. Stick to buying the comic books, if that's a little easier for you. And you can also email us at thepitpodcast@gmail.com. Speaking of other easy things you can do, you can also follow us on Twitter at @PitPodcast, or be a fan on Facebook. Just look up Pretentious Internet Theater. Subscribe to us on iTunes as well. That's asking a lot, but it's a lot easier than writing your own comic book. Hopefully it's going to be really good. Then you can put it on the internet, and maybe make a webcomic of it. That's a good way to start. Make a webcomic and then make it on the internet. But remember, there is much drama on the internet, but only the best makes Pretentious Internet Theater. Night. Pleasure.